Good to see you, folks at the retreat. I'm a bit tired, but the retreat was good for me. When I was driving Route 17, I was very surprised because I didn't expect that kind of windy and hilly road in California. I felt like I was driving in Pennsylvania. What surprised me more was that the Cornerstone sends people to pick up students from Santa Cruz, and I think they come through 17. I'm just doing that every Sunday. Wow. But that impressed me. let's turn to God's Word. Today's Word comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. I'm reading from the NRSV version. Jesus departed with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. Hearing all that he was doing, they came to him in great numbers from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond the Jordan, and the region around Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. For he had cured many, so that all who had disease pressed upon him to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and shouted, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly ordered them not to make him known. He went up to the mountain and called to him those whom he wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him, and to be sent out to proclaim the message, and to have the authority to cast out demons. So he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, who's also called Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. A crowd can be dangerous. A crowd can be very unstable. We know that just by seeing a soccer match. It's supposed to be civilized European countries. There have been incidents where the crowd have ran over human beings and people have died. And in today's passage, we see a dangerous crowd, a threatening crowd coming to Jesus. And Mark, he records carefully where these folks are coming from. They come from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond the Jordan, and the region around Tyre and Sidon. In recording this, he's carefully comparing the ministry of Jesus to the ministry of John the Baptist. As you know, John the Baptist attracted huge crowds. I mean, people from all over Judea came to see John the Baptist. He was, unlike me, he was a very dynamic preacher. He was a powerful preacher. He was a charismatic leader. And people loved to see John preach, and they came to hear him. But John's ministry attracted crowds only within Judea. But Mark says, the crowd that came to see Jesus, they came from outside Judea, from beyond the Jordan, from Tyre and Sidon, the Gentiles, maybe the Gentiles came to see him, or the Jews living in the Gentile lands came to see Jesus. So the ministry of Jesus was much greater than that of John the Baptist. Now, There were so many crowds coming to Jesus, so that Jesus told the disciples, have a boat ready, so when the crowds push in, we can retreat in the boat. And the crowds, they keep following Jesus. Whenever Jesus goes to a town, the crowds, they all move to see Jesus. They run in front of him to see Jesus, to wait for Jesus. The crowd, huge crowd, followed Jesus wherever he went. Now, why did the crowd follow Jesus? There was something that they wanted from Jesus. They had an agenda. And it's because Jesus was able to heal the sick. Huge crowd followed Jesus because they wanted Jesus to touch them and heal them of their sickness. They wanted to be freed from the bondage of Satan, the bondage of the evil one. And they went to see Jesus because they wanted to see miracles, something spectacular. And the request of the crowd, sounds very urgent. Jesus, heal me today. Heal me right now. I need to be healed right away. They're all urgent requests. Jesus, heal me. Oh, heal me. Heal me first. And when Jesus heals, when Jesus hears these requests, he responds and he cures the disease as people request. And he casts out demons. But before he does that, he gets on the boat and he preaches the good news. He preaches the word of God before he heals anybody. And now, the crowd is not really interested in the gospel. They don't really care about the good news. They just want to be healed. But Jesus stops them. Wait a minute. I got something more important. I want to tell you the good news. And we see the priority of Jesus in his ministry. The priority of Jesus was not healing the sick, was not casting out demons. It was, the first priority was proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the news of God's kingdom. But for the crowd, they just wanted to be healed. And that was the urgent matter. But for Jesus, the more urgent matter was that people hear the good news first. That was the most urgent thing for Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he began his ministry, he goes throughout the region of Galilee and he says this, the time is near. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Why was proclaiming the good news so urgent and more important than healing the sick? Well, even if Jesus healed someone who was sick, that person, if he is not forgiven of his sins, he would die in his sins. And that's it. But even if you are sick, and God never heals you, but if you believe in the good news, and if you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, then you have eternal life. Even if you die, you don't really die. So for Jesus, preaching the good news, having people hear the good news first, was more important than healing their disease. So to Jesus, the problem of our souls was much more urgent than our physical problems. And in today's passage, we see a smaller crowd compared with this huge crowd. And this smaller crowd is the 12 disciples. And verse 13 tells us the standard with which these people were picked. Were they more holier than other people? Were they smarter? Or did they have more wealth? The only criteria is this. Jesus called those whom he wanted. That was the only criteria. Jesus picked anybody he wanted. It didn't matter what qualifications they had. The only criteria was that See, you know, I like you. I'll pick you as my disciples. Jesus wanted to call them. And it was completely up to God. And the disciples had no choice. And we know Jesus said in John 15 to his disciples, "It is I who have chosen you. You have not chosen me, but it is I who have chosen you." And Jesus chose his 12 for a purpose. And we can see the purposes in our passage today. We can see three purposes. And the first and the most important purpose of calling his disciples is this. First, build schools, to give lots of money and heal the sick. They're all good things. But that's not our priority. Our priority as disciples of Christ is to be with Jesus, is to spend time with Jesus, is to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. Quiet time. You can't never emphasize the importance of quiet time enough. Quiet time. You spend the time with Jesus through word and prayer. You listen to the voice of Jesus. And we come together as God's people to worship God and to hear God's voice and to be touched by His Spirit. We are here to be with Jesus. We break bread and we share the cup because we want to be with Jesus Christ. We want to commune with Him. Jesus says that He is the vine and we are the branches. And if we want to bear all those fruits of, you know, building hospitals, healing the sick, doing all those good things, if we want to bear those fruits, we have to be stuck to the vine. We have to remain on that vine. That's our job. That's our priority. We have to stick to the vine. Then we can have life. Then we can have impact. Then we can bear all those fruits. But if we are not, if we don't spend time with God in prayer and reading the Word of God, if we begin to skip Sunday worship services, then we grow further and further away from God, further away from Jesus Christ. It's like a branch refusing to be stuck to the vine, to the stem. And if that happens, the branch falls and it withers and cannot bear fruit. But if we are with Jesus, if we are united to Jesus Christ, if we are attached to Christ, then we automatically, naturally, become more like Christ. What Jesus is interested in, then I have interest in the same thing. What Jesus is, I see. The passions of Christ becomes my passion. And we begin to truly bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the second reason, that's pretty obvious from this passage, why Jesus picked these 12 was to share the good news, to proclaim the good news. Verse 14 says, to be sent out to proclaim the message. He picked the 12 to be sent out to proclaim the message, the gospel. Right now, I've been living in Michigan for 5 years, but then before living in Michigan, I was in Florida, Jacksonville for 2 years as a youth pastor. And there was a homeless shelter close to our church. And, one day I took my youth kids to that homeless shelter, and we served food for the poor. And they serve meals to the poor every day. I mean, it's not just once a week, but they do it every day. There's a huge crowd. And before they serve meal, that homeless cushion, homeless shelter, they always hold a mini service. They always proclaim the message of Jesus first, and then they serve the meal. I think they have their priorities straight. They know that proclaiming the good news is more important than feeding the poor. And that should be our priority, and the priority of this church as well. And the third purpose was Jesus told disciples to cast out demons. Now, maybe some of you have seen the movie a long time ago, The Exorcist. People say, oh, that's not true, that's just made up. That's just a movie. Don't believe that stuff. But you know what? It really happened. There was a person, a girl, truly possessed by a demon. And a priest who went to perform exorcism. It's based on a true story. The demons do exist, and demons do possess people who do not have the Holy Spirit inside them. And Jesus was able to cast out any kinds of demons. He bring any kinds of demons, and Jesus was able to cast out all of them. And Jesus says that his disciples will be able, just like Jesus, to cast out any demons. Mark 16:17 says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." Jesus gave that power to cast out demons to the disciples. And how come we don't see those kinds of things in our society? We don't really see people casting out demons these days. But if you go to the mission frontiers, where the gospel is being proclaimed in places where the gospel was never heard, exorcism takes place. And when missionaries lay hands on the sick, they get healed on the spot. Those kinds of things happen on the mission frontiers. And you know what? I believe that those kind of things can happen even here in Silicon Valley when we proclaim the good news. And that is the context in which these miracles are performed. Jesus performed miracles whenever he shared the good news, whenever he proclaimed the good news. I shared about this one church in Canada, Vaughan Church in Toronto, they hold the Alpha Conference, and whenever they hold the Alpha Retreat, there's always one or two instances where a person gets healed on the spot or a demon is cast out. So these things happen even in US or in Canada, whenever the good news is preached. And I think God accompanies these signs because God wants to show to people that God's kingdom is coming with power. And these purposes for which Christ called the disciples are the same purposes that Jesus had for his own ministry. If you look at Jesus, the most important thing for Jesus was spending time with the Father. Whenever he was busy with his ministry, he didn't have time to eat. And yet, the next day, he gets up early in the morning and spends time praying to the Father. Jesus considered the prayer time the most important time in his ministry. Jesus might have skipped the time for a meal, but Jesus never skipped the time to pray with God, to pray to God. And the second priority of Jesus in his ministry was also proclaiming the good news that came before healing and casting out demons. And the third priority is healing and exorcisms and serving. So we see that Jesus called us as his disciples because Jesus wants us to live like he did. He wants to live just like he did. He wants to have the same priorities in our lives. Spending time with the Father, proclaiming the good news, and healing the sick, casting out demons, serving other people. And this is where we see the difference between the huge multitude and this small group of disciples. Big difference. Crowds follow Jesus because they want to achieve their own purpose through Jesus Christ. But disciples follow Jesus because they want to achieve the purpose of God. A huge difference. The crowds follow Jesus because they want God to achieve their own dreams. They want to use God to achieve their own dreams. The disciples, they want to be used by God to achieve God's dreams. The crowds, they pray, Lord, may my have been called as disciples. You're here because Jesus called each one of you to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But sadly, in our churches these days, there are people who belong to the crowd. They're not really disciples, but they're more like the crowd. And they want to be in the crowd. In fact, these days people like big mega churches because they can just go to worship and realize that Jesus was truly the Messiah after the cross and the resurrection. They followed Jesus because they wanted to be powerful. They wanted to be famous, rich and famous. They wanted to achieve their dreams through Jesus Christ. But after Christ has risen, they realize that Jesus is God. And then they began to truly live as disciples. And today, there are many people who want to remain in the crowd. They do not want to step out and become a disciple. Because it is so much easier. It is so much easier to be in the crowd. And if you're in the crowd, you can receive what you want. But you don't really have to give yourself to the demands of Jesus. At the demand of God, if we remain in the crowd, as long as we are proud, we will never become a disciple. We will never have that intimate relationship with Jesus. We will not be like Jesus in our life. Maybe God is calling us. Can you step out from the crowd? Can you be my follower? Can you be my disciple? Now people say, is it really possible to live as a disciple in this world? How is that possible? It's just impossible. But Jesus did not leave us alone. Jesus gave us three things to empower us to live as a disciple of Christ. The first thing is that He sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us, gives us motivations to live as a follower of Christ. And secondly, He gave us God's Word. God's Word is like a sword, a spiritual sword that we can use to defeat Satan. And thirdly, God gave us the church. God gave us our brothers and sisters. They pray for us. They encourage us. They do things, ministry together. God gave us the Spirit, the Word, and the church. With these things, we can live as disciples of Christ. We can never be a disciple of Christ on our own. We need a community of believers. We need the church. And I was kind of pleasantly surprised to hear one of the person at the retreat saying, you know, he was with the KCCC, but he told me that, you know, he realized the importance of the local church. And I think that's very important because, you know, navigators, I was in university, KCCC, they do train the students well, but not so these days, but in the past, they have been sort of, they didn't really emphasize serving the local church. But I think nowadays, KCCC's, you know, navigators and universities, they want to support the local church because they realize that God's kingdom is going to come through the church. I think that's a good development. And we need the local church, we need the Christian community to live as disciples. So whether you like it or not, we're all in the same boat and we are traveling toward the same destination. But the thing is, the reality is that there are some people in the church that you just don't like. That there are some people in the church who bugs you. You know, you don't really want to sit down with that person, talk to that person. You know, you're nice to that person, polite to that person, but you don't really like him or her, right? And we see the same thing, same dynamics in this group of 12. Now, it says that Simon the Canaanite, in other verses, it says he is Simon the Zealot. And Zealot is, I mean, they were like super, super nationalism. They worshipped the nation of the Jewish nation, and they wanted to drive out the Romans. And they refused to pay taxes to the Caesar. And the kinds of folks that they hated the most were tax collectors. And who's a tax collector here? Within this group of disciples is Matthew. And to Simon, this guy is the enemy of the state, the enemy of God. And he's in my group, he's in my church. And he can't stand it. And I'm sure Matthew didn't really like Simon Zealot either. They didn't get along. But did they get out of the church? Did they break away? Did they say, oh, I give up being a disciple of Christ. I want to quit. You don't see that in the Bible. They stuck together as disciples. Not because they were very tolerant of each other, I don't think. Because of one thing. Because Jesus picked him. Jesus chose him. And if Jesus chose that person to be his disciples, I can't say anything. What can I do? It's his choice. He wants that guy as his disciple. So I cannot really look down upon him. I cannot say mean things about that guy because of Jesus. So they stuck together. And they became a community of disciples. They worked together in mutual support and ministry. All of you are here not by, I came here because of my husband, or I came here because of my wife, or because of my parents. But all of you are here because God has called you out of your daily life, out of your life, to be here. God calls you here. And God wants to be his descendants. If we are struggling, if you want to remain as a crowd, if you want to remain as a crowd, if you want to challenge it, you step out and become a true follower, disciple of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we do not want to be nominal Christians. We do not want to be in the crowd, or we want to follow you and experience the exciting and the wonderful life that is offered through Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to have the power, the authority of Jesus Christ to proclaim the good news, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to live as the salt and the light of this world. But I pray that through the Holy Spirit you would empower us, through words you would encourage us, through the community of believers, that you would motivate us to live as your true disciples. Lord, help us to make an impact. Help us to extend your kingdom as your followers. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.